Hello and welcome back to Charge, the podcast by Develop. Today I'm joined by my co-host Louisa Crowder.
Hi there.
And Ivo Weavers from Albert.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ivo. So just to start things off, can you tell us a little bit about Albert and what it is?
Yeah, so Albert is the highest rated financial app for freelancers in the UK. And it dramatically simplifies and automates daily financial tasks for freelancers, like invoicing, expensing, and matching with your bank account.
That's great. So all those dull tasks that you never want to get
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Great. And so how did you come about with this idea? What triggered it?
Yeah, so my co-founder Dan and myself, we used to be freelancers ourselves, and we were working for a fintech startup in the US. When we were traveling a lot to a headquarters over there, we realized that managing our finances on the go was really hard. We came from a background of making very simple mobile apps for some of the UK banks. And well, one and one is two, we realized there was nothing for freelancers yet. We came from that background and we thought there was an opportunity to help freelancers with their daily financial life in a much better way.
What was the fintech you were working for before Albert?
It was a company called Oink that tried to make online payments safe for children so that children can use a credit card but only can spend it on the things they should spend it on.
Did you bring many learnings from Oink to Albert?
Yeah, I think with Oink we saw like we both came from corporate life, and I think we saw how startup life and how startup approaches are very different. And I think tapping your first toes into the startup water really helped us to understand, to make that first change, and it set us up in a good way to do our own thing later on.
So more of a cultural influence than
it's cultural. Technical. It's the way you approach product design and development. Mm-hmm. It's the way you go to market. You don't have an existing brand. You don't have an existing product. You don't have an existing user base, and you have to figure out everything yourself, which is really exciting, but very different from a corporate where most of these things are already established.
So could you give us just a quick overview of your background on a larger scale? Because it's quite interesting to see where people come from to then break into fintech.
So my background is in digital design. So has always been in design for digital interfaces. So I started off in the car industry for Mercedes, then medical for cardiologists, and then moved to mobile 5.5 years when I came to London, asked by RBS to head up their mobile design team.
Okay.
And that's kind of where the road to fintech started. Yeah.
Ah, excellent. Right. So you've tried a lot of different industries. Yeah. Why did fintech jump out at you? Why is it where you decided to take that leap of faith and start your own company?
I think the interesting thing about fintech is that the model, how the market works, is changing. The financial products were quite far removed from the needs of most people in the market. As a as a designer, you try to think about how you can solve things better and solve problems for people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people still have problems with managing their finances, and think with the new technologies that are coming up, the new models with fintechs and banks, there's a golden opportunity to kind of rethink that, and I think that makes it quite exciting, and that's why we started it, I think.
As a small business, you're in a strong position to work really closely with your customers, I assume. So are you designing for their requests, basically?
Yeah, so the fortunate thing was that most people in our team have been freelancing themselves.
Brilliant.
So we knew the problem space, we knew the issues, we knew the day-to-day hassles, the burden of doing your finances. So we had a pretty decent understanding of how we could address some of these problems. Obviously, when you start engaging with your first users, you get more and more feedback. You start to learn more and more from the high-paid consultant in London to the other profession in Devon or the Shetland Islands, and you suddenly start to understand how finance influences everybody's life in different ways. We've taken that route from the start and started learning, and try to inject it into our product as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So you're learning as you go. And so what does a customer see when they log into Albert? What's their experience?
So for us, it was really important that people feel comfortable with sending an invoice straight away. For a lot of people, setting up an invoice, understanding which requirements are needed to have a valid invoice, being able, feeling comfortable about sending it to someone, it's quite a process. And what we tried to do was, when people download our app, sign up to help that first step and overcome that issue as quick as possible. So we help people to set up a beautiful invoice. We allow them to send it to themselves first, so they feel very comfortable about what they're going, how they're going to use it later. So this whole first process is extremely tailored towards the, you know, the first, you know, concerns of the people, and that's what we help with. So people feel very comfortable very quickly with our app.
So what stage is Albert at the moment? I mean, what are you doing this week? What's the big project?
So Albert at the moment is like, so we started off with addressing the first financial question that a freelancer has. So when a freelancer starts his business, he has two questions. How do I get work? How do I get paid? So we try to help with the getting paid part, which is sending an invoice and managing that part. Then last year, we also added the option to store your expenses and your receipts with our app, which is the other side of the coin. And then at the end of last year, we announced our first partnership with a UK challenger bank, Starling, where we start to automate a lot of daily financial tasks for people. And that's really our current focus, where we take almost like the next leap in like innovation in the daily workflow of people. And that's what our current focus is really.
Yeah, we'd love to dive into the partnership with Starling, because that is absolutely one to talk about. And the experience from the side of the service provider of open banking. So the partnership with Starling, where does that stand at the moment?
So we announced early December, we have a partnership with Starling. Since then, we have sent invites, people to join the pilots with Albert and Starling. The first people have signed up now, and we are continuing to add more to the experience with the collaboration. So where we are at the moment is that people can join the pilots, can experience what automated daily bookkeeping means. And we are at the moment learning and improving every day.
So can you just fill us in a little bit what open banking is and what the regulation, what the recent regulations like PSD2 mean for the industry?
Yeah, so I think what fintech really is it's a movement of how things in the financial industry with their customers is going to change. And PSD2 and open banking really enables that change. So in our opinion, like banks play a really important role in the infrastructure. Our partner Starling has a bank license, protects your money, offers a very stable financial platform for people. But on top of that, you need services that tailor to specific needs of people. And that's what we do really well. So ultimately for us, the fintech evolution and the open banking evolution is about connecting these two. It's connecting, you know, like a bank like Starling, which is really good at building the core infrastructure with APIs around it, and a service like Albert that is really good at addressing the daily needs of freelancers. And by bringing those two together, you can bring an experience to market that surpasses everything else and just makes a whole new approach possible.
How does open banking change a fintech service provider's business model? I mean, if PSD2 weren't a thing and no one opened its doors to customer data, what would you be doing?
So I think the critical insight there is that before open banking, the bank was the owner of my financial data, and I couldn't really decide what I wanted to do with the data. So the insight came that, you know, I should be deciding what I want to do with my data. That my financial data works really well for, like, with my shopping list, because I want to understand how my shopping list and my financial, like where I'm spending money in a supermarket, for example, and I should be able to do that. That's my choice, and that's how I think my financial data works best for me. Same with freelancing. If my financial data works really well with my daily bookkeeping, because I want to I want a system to track for me if payments are being received, what kind of payments are being done, then I should be able to do that. So open banking basically enables this new step of customers, end users, like deciding what they want to do with their financial data. And I think having this real-time connection between financial data and other sources of data is critical in moving forward.
Did you build Albert with your eye on PSD2, or was it? Would it have worked without PSD2? Is what I'm asking.
So Albert does work without PSD2, but our vision has always been that the connection with bank data is crucial. So if you now go to the App Store and download Albert, then it works without the bank. So you can just send beautiful invoices. You can store expenses super easily. Tracking it makes tracking and reporting is super easy. You don't need a bank account for that. Obviously, with the connection with the bank data, suddenly things start to be automated and becomes even more simple than that. So ultimately, like when we started, we always had this idea that bringing those two together is where the world is going to.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, things take steps and take time. We are at the forefront now with offering it as the first player in the market. But I think the movement will continue after this in a much more accelerated way.
And have you seen any sort of feedback from the fact that you're now partnered with a licensed bank? Is that helpful? Is the sort of trust that underlying trust that you have in something that's as regulated as Starling, does that help?
Yeah, I think so. I think like we always have built our system with, because we come from mobile banking, we understood the aspects of security and like data protection really well. So that has always been a consideration with our system from the start. So obviously when you start working with a license in like a regulated institution, then you need to be very wary of these kind of concerns. So obviously we are really happy that we are partnering with Starling, and I think we also were in a good position to be able to do that.
So banks are of course heavily regulated. Traditionally they're thought of as, you know, cumbersome and slow moving, but with the emergence of banks like Monzo, Starling, the challenger banks, they're a lot more agile and, you know, quick to launch products and partnerships and take advantage of regulations like PSD2. I wonder if your experience working with NatWest and another traditional bank?
RBS.
And RBS?
Yes.
Differs from your experience working with Starling on that front, you know, the fast-moving and the cultural thing?
Yeah, I think it's almost like a comparison between any smaller company and a bigger company. Because with any major organization, things just move slower. It's, you know, you need more political buy-in to make changes. And with a smaller company that has just a vision on the future and a smaller team, can move quicker. It's much easier to kind of develop something together. So I think what we're really happy with the collaboration with Starling is that we have both share the same vision. They have a small team. We are a small team. We are both around Finsbury Square, so it's like literally 1 minute walk from each other. And yeah, that just allows us to move very quickly and learn very quickly from our end customers. That said, I think you know, the major banks will also realize that they will have to change at some point. It just probably will take a little bit longer for them to do that.
Did that aspect of challenger banks, or perhaps even the proximity in terms of offices, influence your decision to launch with Starling before any other bank?
I think the main choice for a partnership is that you have to share the vision. You have to share the understanding of where things are going. If you don't share that, it's really difficult, I think, to come up with a solution that's going to work for both of you and that you both can learn about how things should move forward. I think what we found when talking with Starling was that they share the same idea about where the market is going as we do, and that makes collaboration like really good. They're very talented product people. We have a very talented product and engineering team, so people work really well together, and those kind of are key ingredients, I think, for making a partnership work. And that's why I think we get along from day one, really.
What is that shared vision of where the market is going?
I think it is this model where you have a core banking infrastructure that connects with tailored services for specific niches in the market. So in our case, it's the, you know, the sole trader or business bank account from Starling with a service on top of that, which is Albert, that manages the day-to-day financial tasks for people.
So banking as a marketplace, basically.
Banking as a marketplace, banking as a almost like a wholesale model where other people can connect to, yeah.
And I mean, you're not, I mean, Starling isn't the only one that shares that vision with you, so do you think there's any more projects like that in the works for Albert?
I think the market is going there, so I think everybody will keep their eyes and ears open on what, like, what's going to happen. Like, we are really happy now with the first step we're taking, and based on the learnings and how we move forward, we'll we'll see what's coming after that.
Okay, well, so we've been talking about open banking and the perks of it and sort of how good it's going to be for the financial industry. But surely there must be some negative sides to it as well. It will level the playing field to a certain extent, make everyone will have access to everything. So how does that play into the sort of business model?
Yeah, so I think there is a notion in the market that everything will just be available to everyone, mm-hmm. because that's kind of what the label open banking says. I don't think it will go that quickly, like, because it's financial data, it's still sensitive, people are still worried about that, it still requires a level of trust, especially with laws coming into place like GDPR next year, more stringent data protection policies. It's becoming really important that the systems that deal with open banking are still very secure, very stable, are very trustworthy. So more and more people will do it, but I think the requirements for being successful in it will be quite strict.
Obviously, I think one of the big misconceptions is that everything will just be available.
Yeah.
Which obviously, as you mentioned, GDPR, it's financial data, it's sensitive.
Exactly.
And all these things. So there's sort of like a bit of giving and a bit of taking from the regulators.
Well, so the open APIs, the customer has to approve their data being sent to a certain provider. But do we have clarity on whether any provider can offer directly to the consumer, or the provider has to go through the bank onto a curated list of available ones, and then they're available to the consumer? Because I think that's what's been happening so far. Am I right there?
Yeah, so at the moment you have to be on a curated list, and also, yes, and it's correct that the user has to approve it. So, and I think it makes sense because, again, the sensitivity and the protection of the data is really important. It's crucial. And I think, therefore, it's important that the players that are connecting to the APIs are in some sort monitored and regulated. Yeah,
because not every consumer can do full research into a service provider themselves. They want to trust their bank.
Exactly.
How is that going to influence future partnerships between service providers and banks, because you're not only marketing yourself to the consumer, you're marketing yourself to the banks because you want the banks to pick you to get on their list. So how is that going to impact future companies? I mean, is it sort of a dual marketing?
I think so. I think when both sides realize that by combining their offerings, by combining their systems, is going to bring an additional benefit to the end user. It's almost quite, like, I almost see it as quite a natural, like, an almost quite a natural process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have many conversations with people in the financial world, and what we're doing now just makes a lot of sense, and people totally get it. And I think this kind of natural progression towards services working together is something that can't be stopped, and is almost like a movement that is taking place and will happen.
Yeah, challenger banks like Starling seem in a stronger position because they're designed to have plug-in services, and so they're much more open to partnerships, whereas the traditional banks are going to be a little bit protective of that data, and that's not going to work in the future.
Yeah, and I also think the services that are connecting, like Albert, have to be designed in order to be able to connect quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we set up our experience in the mobile app was always around having that in mind, that we are going to bring in like financial data directly into the app. So if you look at Albert's, it's like everything is distilled into a simple to-do list and a done list. So everything from all kinds of sources, like invoicing, expensing, bank data, comes into this simple to-do list. The idea was always that when bank data comes into the app, this will also fit nicely within that experience. So yeah, I think, you know, it's easy just to connect two systems, but on both sides, things have to be ready in order to make it really good for the end user.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of that connection, how does it look like? So you log into Starling, right? And is Albert a tab? Is it an option? How does it work?
So at the moment, if you go to Albert, you sign up with Albert, then in the profile, like in the information menu on the left, there is an option to register for automatic bookkeeping. Then on a weekly basis, we will invite a new batch of users to participate in our pilot with Starling. And then when you're invited, you basically will get the invite codes. You sign up for Starling, and then from Albert, you can say, I want to connect with Starling. The two apps talk to each other, as soon as you click, hit the connect button, it opens the Starling app. Starling asks for the approval, then it goes back to the Albert app and you're connected. And that's how simple it is, really.
Right, so it's seamless, essentially.
It's very seamless, yeah.
Are you able to tell us who these early adopters are? Who are the people that are getting on board as customers with open banking today?
Yeah, I think it's people who are, freelancers for sure, I guess, to start. it's a freelancers, early adopters, people that have not a lot of time, so are looking for ways to make their day-to-day lives easier, better, and smarter. And so it's mostly people that follow the latest tech trends, follow the fintech world. And so that's the first group of people. The second group of people is users from Albert at the moment. So we have explained to some of them what it could bring them. People are really enthusiastic about it. So as soon as we say this is how it's going to improve your life, people say, I need to have that. So people are really interested to join us. And fortunately, at the moment, we have more signups than slots we have available on a weekly basis. So it's a really good sign.
So are you getting a flow of new customers coming from Starling?
So mostly from people that are observing the space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sorry, I was just wondering, because you said you have a background as a designer. One of the things that we're really interested in is understanding how you can marry the design side with the security side, right?
Yeah.
So if you're setting up automated bookkeeping, obviously you want this to be secure information. It's very sensitive data.
Yeah.
How do you make that easy for your customers?
So I think when it's almost like I would compare it with a person-to-person relation. If you meet someone on the street and that person asks you for your bank data and you've never seen that person, you're not going to give that bank data. If that person has
safe to say.
If that person has a padlock tattooed on their forehead, are you going to go to the bank data? Probably not. So thinking about how the relationship between you as a brand and your end user evolves in order to build trust is crucial. So when we were designing Albert and building Albert and learning about it, we took that part really serious. So how do you build trust? How do you engage in a conversation with the end user such that the end user trusts us, and that we are a good partner on a day-to-day basis for the end user. So the way we did it was, for example, we designed the process really straightforward. We're very transparent in what's happening to the end user. And the first steps are really easy, so people feel comfortable with the app very quickly. Our customer service is extremely approachable, so when people have questions, they get really friendly and nice response right away. And we make really sure that our app is unprotected, so people need a PIN, but also extremely stable. So our app has a 99.9% stability rate, which is extremely high. And all these kind of elements contribute to people trusting us doing their daily financial tasks. And that paves the way almost for doing more advanced financial things, for example, integrating with your bank account.
What sort of feedback have you been getting from your customers since the launch with Starling? Are they comfortable? Is the level of trust remaining the same? Is there different functionality they want? What are they saying?
Yeah, first of all, people are super enthusiastic about it. People love it. The first steps and the process is really easy. And where we are now is that we are obtaining feedback about the next features and that people want, how it could make their lives even easier. So we are taking on board this kind of feedback and basically building on top of that.
So what's next?
Very exciting new features. So I would encourage everyone who is really interested in automating their daily financial life to kind of go to getalbert.com, register the interest for the Starling trial and have a try themselves.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Well, that's a fantastic note to end on. Thank you for joining us today. And if anyone wants to sign up to Albert on Starling, that address was getalbert.com. To engage with Develop and Charge podcast, you can tweet us at develop_team. You can email us at charge@develop.co.uk. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ivo, and thank you, Louisa, and see you in 2 weeks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.